This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
America faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Insane Kings Podcast. Why am I laughing? This week was insane. So let's dive on in with Insane Thing number 7. If you listen to me, you know I have been obsessed with what happened when Congress requested 33,000 pages of information on the two Trump assassination attempts from the Secret Service and the FBI. That is nothing. They didn't even get a single damn page. There are plenty of members of Congress who have the security clearances to see this stuff. If that's what's holding it up, they could go behind closed doors tomorrow. They refuse to even give those Congress members any information. And no information has been forthcoming from the FBI or the Secret Service since Trump's executive order about 2 weeks ago. In fact, Elon Musk demanded this information at CPAC and asked out loud, why can't we get it? Was the answer to this in the New York Post this morning? Headline, would-be Trump assassin Thomas Crooks may have had accomplice, data shows, as investigators say the FBI is suppressing information. You think? The New York Post, which nailed the Hunter Biden laptop story and quite frankly should have gotten a Pulitzer for it, the New York Post says that sources tell them that the FBI has obstructed efforts to solve the mystery. Efforts by who? This is really interesting. By six detectives working as a team for an anonymous client with a big budget. Veteran private investigator Doug Hagman, whose team has been working on the case for months, says they've interviewed more than 100 people, and they've conducted extensive geofencing analysis of cell phones and tablets not belonging to Crooks that were found with him at his home. And by that, they mean they geofenced them there. If you don't know what geofencing is, it's how they caught about 1,000 of the January 6th folks that they prosecuted. They simply buy ad data, and anybody could buy it, to find out what phones were in an area at what time. They can even figure out what phones were in my house at any given time. The data's incredible, folks. We sell it here at Odyssey, where I work, and I've sat across from a salesperson who's talking to a potential client who says, well, you know, we're doing pretty well. And the salesperson says, well, you know, your foot traffic through the front door is down 40% over this month last year, but, you know, sure looks like your competitor down the street's foot traffic's up 15%. Wow. That's how good this is. So what they did was simply geofence who has been interacting with and following Thomas Crooks around. The government, nobody can hide that data because anybody with enough funds can buy it. That's where the 100 people they say they interviewed came from. Team's conclusion, Hagman told the Post, they believe a criminal network was operating with Crooks at the time of the assassination attempt is still in existence and still wants to kill President Trump. We don't think he acted alone, Hagman said, which should be a problem since the FBI insists he did. This took a lot of coordination. In my view, Crooks was handled by more than one individual, and he was used for this assassination attempt. And I wouldn't preclude the possibility that there were people at the rally itself helping him. Wow. Hageman said one of the electronic devices geolocated with crooks at several different places at the time of the shooting is still pinging today at Bethel Park High School. Hageman, the private investigator, said he was personally escorted to the Butler County line and told to leave twice during the course of his team's investigation. The people who did so were either federal agents or some type of private security, he said. Okay, that's weird. Hageman insists there are still people out there who need to be brought to justice. And one thing we learned from former Representative Mike Waltz in the New York Post that FBI officials who served under President Biden did access Crook's phone, computer, and his encrypted messaging apps in Belgium, New Zealand, and Germany. But they've been very tight-lipped about what they found. Insane thing number six. Donald Trump does not have a lot of time to fix inflation. New ABC News poll, and I believe this, 77% of Americans say that their wages are not keeping up with inflation. And just last month, we found out the data from last month, inflation is accelerating again, particularly food inflation. And yet, what did Congress unveil this week? They're just going to keep going with the exact same size of spending that caused the inflation in the first place. I don't seem to care at all that this will get tied around the necks of Trump and the Republicans. Mike Johnson and the Republicans producing the largest ever deficit. Folks, this budget plan is honestly astonishing. It is a full-on $2 trillion deficit. That means $2 trillion that we have to print or borrow, and it envisions adding. Are you ready for this? You might want to sit down. $20 trillion to the national debt in the next 9 years. This is the Republican budget. And that's the conservative one. Lindsey Graham's, which he authored in the Senate, is much worse. Now, I've explained before, you can't just cut the $2 trillion off the top because we'd have an economic collapse. You have to do it gradually, but you have to do it. I anticipated at least $500 billion worth of cuts in this budget. Get it started, because otherwise the inflation is going to continue and Trump is going to own it. And it's clear, folks, what is going on here. Congress is unwilling to make these cuts. They simply don't care about breaking the backs of their children and grandchildren with debt. They don't care if the entire economy or the government collapses or the dollar with it. They don't care about any of it. They don't care if Americans have to, struggle to afford food and if the middle class is going forward unable to have the American dream of affording a house. They just don't care. But Trump can't take them head on either, because this is the Republican Congress. He can't wreck his own party at the polls. He needs them for the next 4 years. So what is he doing? If you watch what they're doing, they're at war. Donald Trump's saying, okay, fine, go ahead. Keep appropriating ever bigger amounts of money, and I just won't spend it. His proposals for cuts this week were astonishing. I mean, they're really exciting. And he's talking about eliminating 1 million federal workers. That was at the meeting earlier this week. Folks, there's 2.3 million non-military federal employees in this country, which is absurd. A million of them? Wow. But what percentage of the budget is federal workers? 5%. We're going to need much bigger cuts than that. The good news is we're finding them. Doug Collins at the VA just announced the end of $2 billion worth of wasteful contracts that DOGE found. Over at the Federal National Science Foundation, Ted Cruz announced $2 billion worth of spending on grants to 3,500 mostly Democrat-oriented. And folks, this is how they pay the grassroots. This is how the Democrats put everybody on the payroll. $2 billion to promote DEI, neo-Marxist class warfare propaganda, which, by the way, has nothing to do with science. Here's another shocking one from the New York Post. Headline, tech guru who is working with Elon Musk declared Monday she believes over $100 billion in taxpayer dollars are being wasted or stolen by federal employees at government agencies. She said they're fake employed. What does that mean? Well, basically, there's half a trillion dollars, $500 billion worth of programs that have expired. They have no authorization from Congress, yet bizarrely, Congress funds them anyway. And so what she said was, there's people drawing paychecks here, but it's not clear where they work or even if they work for anybody. And she said she's begun to map the networks of these people. If you research people long enough, she says, you start to notice they're all working together. They're all married. They're all in-laws. They're all connected, she says. So think like social media. She insisted that the evidence of corruption she's uncovered isn't limited to members of just one party. It's Democrats and Republicans involved, she said. She says there's $100 billion a year worth of fraud and waste there. And folks, she explained, this made it make so much more sense. This is why Elon Musk sent out that email. And this is also why members of Trump's team, like the head of the FBI, Tulsi Gabbard, Pete Hegseth, told their employees, no, don't answer the email that Musk is sending out. The media was framing that as, oh, they're in rebellion. No, they're not. That's not who they're looking for. Those are actual people in federal agencies. If you notice, one of the questions that Musk asked in the email is, who is your supervisor? Why? Because in this black hole, this $500 billion black hole, there aren't supposed to be any supervisors. These programs technically don't exist. And because they've expired, but are still bizarrely still funded, because they don't exist, there's no oversight of them. Nobody knows who works in them. That's who they're targeting with this. And the AI they built can both track where these emails go and if they come back, where they come back from. Folks, it is bizarre that we have to do this. But Congress doesn't seem to care about DOGE. Sure, turn on Newsmax, Fox News, ONN. You've got Congress members going off on how great DOGE is and what victims they are. But when it comes down to it, in the House, all those Republicans, except Thomas Massey, voted for this ridiculous budget that's going to keep Americans stone cold poor and inflation going just as it was under Joe Biden. Understand, folks, we wouldn't even know that $500 billion worth of expired programs, they're scattered all over the place, was still being funded without DOGE. So, folks, rough back of the envelope math, because DOGE isn't counting that $500 billion in programs. We're looking at, and it hasn't all been confirmed yet, somewhere on the order of $700 to $800 billion worth of savings so far. They haven't cut it all yet, but they've found it. That's why DOGE isn't counting it in their total. In other words, it sure looks like Elon Musk is going to get to his goal, probably even surpassing it. And again, Trump and Musk's goal is to cut the deficit in half from $2 trillion a year that we just print or borrow to $1 trillion a year. And then in the next year to wipe it out entirely. But there's one thing holding them back. You know, we have Topic Pulse here. We pay a lot of money for it. A lot of media outlets use it. It's not really available to the public. And I can see what the top 20 articles are at any given time. I love to tell you about this tool. Well, this morning when I came in, 8 out of the 20 have to do with lawsuits against DOGE or against Trump and his administration for making cuts. Here's the dirty little secret. And this is really the insane thing here. And you can read this in a Wall Street Journal. Congress can easily greenlight DOGE. What? Yep. A simple sentence in the reconciliation bill would resolve legal concerns, end these lawsuits, and give the president the ability to cancel grants, fire employees or officers, reduce or eliminate entire agencies and departments, audit the expenditures, and cut at least half $1 trillion in waste. In fact, the Wall Street Journal even writes the paragraph, notwithstanding any other provision of law for fiscal years 25 to 26, the president is hereby authorized and directed to identify and eliminate at least $500 billion of waste, fraud, abuse, and federal spending by auditing expenditures, discharging employees or officers, canceling grants, or reducing or eliminating agencies or departments. Boom, done. Because as the Wall Street Journal points out, most of these suits are not, they do not involve constitutional rights. They're simply saying, hey, Trump can't do this. Those are powers Congress hasn't granted him. I think long term, Trump's going to win, but these cases are going to go on for 2 years. So it's outrageous that Congress, which is controlled by Republicans, can end this by inserting one paragraph, and they have not. And yet, incredibly, at the same time, we've had members of Congress the last couple of weeks doing these interviews about how these judges are out of control. Got to rein in the judges. Well, you guys could rein in the lawsuits. That's what they don't tell you. Folks, we have discovered who the enemy is in Congress, and it's not primarily the Democrats anymore. It's the GOP leadership. But here's the thing. Americans love Doge. This is according to a Harvard Harris poll. Harvard Harris pollster is Hillary Clinton's old pollster, Mark Penn. 60% of Americans say Doge and Elon Musk are helping cut government waste. Yeah, they are for it. In other words, they don't think that he's just in there trying to steal your Social Security number. And get this, 76% support full-scale efforts to root out government waste by Doge, and a majority, 52%, say Doge should not just have access to relevant information, but all information related to spending in government systems. In other words, this is Americans saying back to the Democrats, 52% of them, we don't care if you can see our Social Security numbers, get the waste. Insane thing number five. One of the ways Washington hides all this graft and theft is behind old computer systems that don't interface with each other. Jesse Waters nailed it.
Washington's been broken for decades, and Washington's fighting to stay that way. Because when things don't work, you can't find the money.
Musk described the same situation this week.
Almost a literal description of the work that the Doge team is doing is helping fix the government computer systems. Many of these systems are extremely old. They don't communicate. There are a lot of mistakes in the systems. The software doesn't work. So we are actually tech support.
Which led to the signing of an insane executive order this week, and a very clever one. It turns out that the reason mid-level Biden appointees at the EPA were able to simply hit a button and send $20 billion, yes, billion dollars, out the door, $2 billion of which ended up in Stacey Abrams' coffers, as we learned last weekend, $55 million of which at least ended up paying for campaign commercials for Kamala Harris. Keep your eye on that scandal. That'll get much worse. Is because there's no override function at the executive level. Let that sink in. That's how antiquated these systems are. So theoretically, if Donald Trump wanted to sit in his office and say, no, I said you can't send illegal immigrants any more money, he couldn't stop them. In fact, he wouldn't have a good way of knowing they did it. There's no overview point, no way to search. You'd have to walk down to the old software system. They like it that way. Well, what Trump ordered this week was that each agency head shall, with the assistance as requested from the agency's Doge team, build a centralized technological system within the agency to seamlessly record every payment issued by the agency pursuant to each of the covered contracts, along with a brief written justification for each payment. The system shall have a mechanism for the agency head to pause and rapidly review any payment which the approving employee has submitted. So this system would be interconnected and would finally allow the president to, one, see what is being spent, and two, stop it, which he doesn't have right now. Folks, the fact that this does not exist has literally allowed a bureaucratic coup. We can't even find what's going out the door. We have to rely on whistleblowers to tell us in a lot of cases. And Trump couldn't stop it if he wanted to. Neither can the agency heads he appoints. It gives a tremendous amount of power to the bureaucracy, but not anymore. They're frantically building this system out to keep the Democrat loyal federal employees from sending money out the door. And once it's built, it will officially put every agency under the supervision of Doge's team leads and ultimately the president. Awesome, right? And also, folks, outrageous that we didn't have anything like this before. This has now enabled massive fraud. But what they're building is a way to take control of the system back, which brings us to insane thing number four. Right now, it's 11:27 a.m. on Friday, which is about 3.5 hours past Attorney General Pam Bondi's deadline for the FBI to turn over the Epstein info. So far, there's no evidence anybody turned anything over. There's been dead silence from both sides. That is, after Bondi accused the FBI of withholding thousands of pages of Jeffrey Epstein docs. She's demanding they be turned over. She says they lied to her. They told her she had everything. But then she got a call from a whistleblower saying, no, there's thousands and thousands more pages they didn't give you. She had only about 200 pages. But by then, the damage had been done. This is the first major gaffe with the Trump administration. They called all those social media influencers in, handed them those binders. They're walking out, flashing them to the media. We've got the Epstein stuff. They hadn't read it yet, so they didn't know. They really didn't. They just had newspaper articles and stuff so heavily redacted, who knows what it even meant. Right. Well, they made fools of themselves. And what sunk Pam Bondi here is that she went on Jesse Waters and claimed she had this stuff on her desk, that this was terrible, it was awful. She built up the tension, somehow not realizing she didn't actually have it. Folks, this is one of these things I don't know what to make of, because let me tell you what, she didn't need a whistleblower to tell her that. I could have told her. In fact, I said it on my show every hour yesterday, because I had a feeling something like this was coming. Here's why. What's been bizarre to me all week is that Republicans are wailing on Bondi for not releasing this yet, especially Republican Representative Anna Paulina Luna, who heads the committee that's supposed to disclose all this stuff. I couldn't understand why they were wailing on the DOJ for it when the FBI has it. Folks, after Epstein did not kill himself in 2019, the FBI immediately mass raided all of his properties, everything that he had. If you've been following this, which Bondi clearly hasn't, you've read the UK Daily Mail, you know, New York Post too. There's been a virtual public itemization of everything they had. Thousands of video recordings, some of them on VCR tapes, y'all. That's how old they were. Some of them on hard drives, some of them on discs. There were financial information, which is the key part. The guy went from being a broke teacher to 5 years later being worth hundreds of millions of dollars, and within a little more than a decade, a billionaire. Huh? How does that happen? I don't know, but the FBI does. This was a bizarre level self-inflicted wound by the GOP. I'm not sure why they picked Bondi to release this, then wailed on her for not doing it as soon as she took office when she never had this stuff in the first place. And I could have told him that. I know it's the FBI who's had this stuff. And it's really remarkable because judges have twice ordered them to release it publicly in 23 and 24, and they gaffed them both off. In fact, Republican Senator Marsha Blackburn has been trying to get this stuff and actually knows where it is. At the FBI, which is why she wrote a letter to Kash Patel, not Pam Bondi, on Monday demanding it. Here she is describing exactly what I'm describing.
What we saw yesterday is information on that will lead us to the file that was used in the court document. This is information from the FBI search. We need that. We now know to go look for that and ask for those specifics of computers. And we also know there are IRS records we need. There's video footage we need. So they're trying to find where and this is housed in the FBI and get it over
to AG
Bondi.
And we know you'll keep fighting for it.
It's going to be a process.
Folks, this is a massive volume of stuff. Say you want what I really want. I don't care too much about the flight logs. I mean, Trump flew on the airplane. And we know this. If Trump had actually done something at Epstein Island and there was any record of it, it would have been released by now. They would have tanked Hillary to get Trump. They don't care who else's name they had to release or what data had to come out. Trump's not in there, but he was on the plane. Being on the plane, the flight list, it doesn't mean anything. Let me tell you why. Because the girls were prostituted at all of Epstein's properties. In fact, the Wall Street Journal, remember, got a hold of part of Epstein's calendar, just a part of it, and it had Biden CIA Director William Burns going to visit Epstein multiple times at his condos, but not flying on the plane. Folks, you know what we need? We need the videotapes. Now, you can't show them because the victims are in them, obviously, but what we need is an itemization. Hey, this one has Prince Andrew in it with a 13-year-old. That's all we need, right? But that'll take months to put together, which comes right back to Bondi. I mean, why did she promise this? It's so strange. But the bottom line here, folks, is the FBI did lie to her if what she's saying is true. And they said, nah, that's it. That's all we have. That's not true. But again, if she simply Googled the searches on this UK Daily Mail, she would have known that like I do, which is why I was warning about it yesterday. Anyway, if the FBI continues to refuse to play ball, and at this point they should be like, hey, we got that upstairs in room XYZ. You're welcome to go in there and get it. Whatever. If they aren't playing ball at this point, folks, if they're just gaffing Bondi off, we need to send a full tactical team into the FBI retrieve the Epstein evidence as you would in any criminal investigation, because these people at the FBI and DOJ are for real are protecting pedophiles, and they need to be treated as what they are, accessories to a crime. Again, and this is what Marsha Blackburn's obsession, Senator Marsha Blackburn, has been. She's not wrong. They know who the Johns are. If you look here in the upstate where I am in South Carolina, I mean, just in the last couple of months, we've had one guy affiliated with the school board. And we've had another school resource officer get arrested for having sex with underage minors. That's what they're accused of. Folks, regular people don't get to do this. Law enforcement agencies don't protect them, but the FBI is. And that's why we need to figure out where this is stored at the FBI and treat it like a crime scene. Bondi seems to be speaking to people who know where it is. According to her, she says they lied. Well, we need to treat them like criminals, because that's what they are and that's what this is. This crime scene needs to be secured. And how much, if any, evidence has been destroyed needs to be determined and documented. We need to freeze computers. We need to lock all these computers down. We need to send a Doge team in there to forensically evaluate all the systems. They should also take into custody those who fail to comply with the previous order. So, folks, that's how, and here's the thing, I don't even think we need a warrant for any of that, but we need to send people in to get it physically. And let me tell you why. The FBI cannot at this point get away with dodging this, because that will teach them they can simply ignore Trump, and it'll show the country that Bondi and Kash Patel are not, in fact, in charge of those agencies. And folks, remember, last time the Trump administration failed to take control of the Attorney General's office, of the DOJ, of the FBI, and you saw what happened. They ended up in Melania's underwear drawer, out of control. Insane thing number three.
Mexico extraditing 29 drug bosses to the United States, including one wanted for the killing of a DEA agent. Point blank, did this happen because of Trump's tariff pressures?
Oh, absolutely. And as you said, Rafael Caro Quintero, this was 40 years ago in 1985 that he killed a DEA agent. So this guy has been on our list for a long time. So this is a good day for justice in the United States. The Attorney General, Pam Bondi, put out a statement last night about how this is finally getting justice for this murdered American. And it does show you how Donald Trump is working even with, you know, a difficult partner like the current very far left government of Mexico to get results for Americans. So
even better, the Wall Street Journal reported, was that secret U.S. drone program that's operating right now helped capture these Mexican cartel bosses. So this shows if we can find them, we may be able to get Mexican cooperation to round them up. Because, you know, I've long warned the Democrat Party is merging with these cartels. Well, we had some odd proof of that this week, or at least an odd statement about it. A 28-minute speech from the dictator of Venezuela, Maduro. It was directed toward Trump, and it was in Spanish, or I'd put clips of it here. But the transcript reads that Biden, the CIA, and the FBI deliberately imported, wait for this, Tren de Aragua and other gangs into the USA to use as muscle. He even told them where they could find the proof of this. Maduro, in a speech at a public event, publicly admitted that the Biden administration facilitated the expansion of Tren de Aragua, a terrorist gang once confined to Venezuela, into Colombia, and then to the United States. Quote, I say to President Donald Trump with respect, ask for the reports of the last 4 years from the FBI and the DEA from the offices in Colombia, so you can see who financed, who moved, who directed the famous Tren de Aragua, and who brought it to the United States. He pointed the finger squarely at Biden, claiming the gang was used with deep ties to the former Biden administration to export terrorism from Venezuela to American cities. Now, why would you do this? Okay, I've been warning for a long time that the cartels are merging with the Democrat Party. You know what's some weird evidence of this? Remember what happened when we learned that Tren de Aragua was forcibly taking over apartment complexes from the landlords, threatening to kill them and their management if they objected, and then selling underage girls out of them, and women too, kidnap victims, basically. And do you remember that the Democrat governor of Colorado, the Democrat police chief, the Democrat AG all denied it. And then later on, we found out from a local Aurora publication that all of them had had briefings from either the FBI or the Department of Homeland Security or both, warning them months before any of this broke in the media that Trende Arago was taking over these buildings. And by the way, not just here, Chicago, Texas, throughout the state of Colorado, it's going on in a lot of blue areas, either blue states or blue areas inside states. So they knew and they lied to cover for Trende Arago. Almost makes you wonder, doesn't it? But how would you do this? I mean, I've also pointed out to you for a long time, the Democrat Party here seems to really be following Maduro's model. And the recent election, it looks like Maduro got somewhere between 20-30% of the vote, but managed to lock out the opponent who actually won. And when people enraged took to the streets to actually attempt to protest, they were shot at and sometimes murdered, threatened by armed banditos. The only people who have guns in that country are the banditos. The guns were taken from everybody else. Well, who are they? They're criminal gangs. So they're very, very, very loosely affiliated with the government. They're not police. They're not military. So Maduro has all kinds of deniability. It's the same way that it goes in Mexico, where there were over 100 assassination attempts in the last political cycle, which lasts a little over a year, and 63 of them made their mark. I mean, they killed 63 candidates. They kill those that aren't on their payroll. Can you imagine Democrats with a system like that? I think they want it. I really believe that. Now, is Maduro lying? Who knows? He's Maduro. He's a really bad dude. But that's fascinating and gives us an idea, a roadmap of where to look. You better believe the Trump people are looking. In fact, I suspect that they're already heading in that direction. And that is why Trump also appointed Kash Patel to head the ATF. Because what did we learn in 2011? It was actually part of a court filing in a criminal case against El Chapo. And we learned that the Sinaloa cartel was not only armed and financed by the ATF. Remember the gun walking scandal? Yeah. Was not only armed and financed by the ATF and the FBI, their criminal lines were protected. So think drugs, human trafficking. And the excuse the FBI gave at the time when Fox News asked them in 2011, oh, hey, what are you doing? What's this about? Oh, well, you know, we protect them so that they'll turn over their rivals to us. We don't have to protect them or fund them to get them to turn over their rivals. They'll do it for free. They're rivals, folks. So I think this has been going on for a long time. And I think this is why Donald Trump is getting on Pentagon style level war footing with these cartels, because he knows he's got four years to wipe them out before they finish merging with the Democrat Party. And we start having these assassinations here like we do in Mexico and in Venezuela, which leads us to insane thing number two. There's an independent investigative journalist by the name of Brianna Murillo. She used to work with Fox News. She quit over the COVID vaccine mandate. She does her own reporting now. Well, remember when everybody started under the Biden administration seeing those lines of what looked like illegal immigrants? They were going right past Americans in the check-in line at the airport. There seemed to be special rules for them, and there were some whistleblower leaks. Well, at the time, she filed a Freedom of Information Act request for all documents around the program that let illegal immigrants fly with no ID and no way to know who the heck they are besides what they claim. And she was told by the TSA no such program existed and no such documents existed. Well, then you might have noticed there was a change of administration. So she asked the Trump administration, hey, I've got this FOIA outstanding. Can I have the documents? And oh boy, did she get them. By the way, lying like that, not complying, that is a crime. You can prosecute that under the FOIA statute. It turns out, folks, this was deliberate. On March 26, 2021, the TSA issued a revised operations directive to address what they said was a significant increase in the number of non-U.S. citizens at certain airports who do not have acceptable ID documents. This created a dual justice system. Americans had to wait in the lines and produce all the documents or they weren't flying. But if you were an illegal immigrant, well, you're of a much more important class of voters. So you could fly with the federal government issued warrant for arrest of alien. By the way, there's no photo ID and no confirmation of identity with this. Your warrant of removal. And by the way, a lot of those warrants of removal, they're given because the illegal committed a crime beyond illegal immigration. order of supervision, notice to appear in a court case, arrival and departure form, and alien booking record. Later, according to the documents, they were allowed to fly with a QR code from the CPB One app. One problem. That's an honor system. You are whoever you say you are on the app. There's not a photo ID. And they even mention in the program that the illegal can opt out of having their picture taken, you know, as they go through the checkpoint line if they want their privacy respected. Wouldn't it be cool if Americans got that deal? Anyway, the primary goal of the pilot program, this is the most outrageous part for the documents, wasn't tied to national security at all. They didn't give a damn, bottom line, but rather to reduce wait times at TSA security checkpoints so that there wouldn't be large numbers of illegal immigrants very obviously and conspicuously standing there. So the focus was emphasized repeatedly throughout the concept of operations, saying the influx of illegals without IDs places a severe burden on TSA checkpoints when attempting to vet multiple individuals. So that just says you don't need one. Yeah, nobody, you're a terrorist, whatever. By the way, remember CBS News in March of 24 documenting that not only had they let a terrorist go, that terrorist had flown twice. They did catch that person eventually. Guess this is how. Well, the documents congratulated the TSA. They congratulated themselves on the average cycle time for ID verification in these lines going from 12.87 minutes to 1.48 minutes, an 88% reduction in the average cycle time. And if a plane load of people dies in a terror attack, oh well, there'll be more replacement voters along in just a few minutes. Yeah, they'll come right over the border. Hey, so question, and Brianna Morella couldn't figure this out. Is this program still operating right now? I mean, these are things nobody knows that we have to get to the bottom of. The good news, if it is operating, is that there aren't many people going through it because we had one day last week, Saturday, only 200 people were found on the entire 700-mile border. That's fantastic news, showing we could have always closed this border. But as for who is here, who the hell knows? But as part of insane thing number two, we have some good news on that front. This leaked this week and was reported by state-funded media Politico. So who the heck knows? It might be true. Although the Trump administration didn't deny it, that they're in talks with Blackwater founder Eric Prince for a mass deportation program that would be done by the private sector. And it sounds like a great deal for just $25 billion with a B. Keep in mind, over the next 10 years, just the federal benefits to illegals would be $200 billion. For $25 billion, Prince says, and he's been doing interviews about this, that he can remove 500,000 illegals a month and get all 12 million illegals total, because we have more than that, out of the country by the 2026 midterms. He proposed using the country's more than 400 military bases as staging areas. And he said for that, they would provide 100 planes that will run around the clock. And he says they will employ 10,000 civilians to manage the processing camps on U.S. Army bases. The plan also endorses a proposed bounty program by the Mississippi District Attorney to create cash rewards. They're talking about doing this in Arizona, too. It's exactly what they need to do. Cash rewards for individuals who help facilitate successful deportations. And public servants can get them, too. So like police officers, and suggest holding public hearings for detainees to spur engagements. After the news broke, by the way, Prince said that he expected that the Trump administration would first probably try to exhaust all federal government means, but expects them to eventually do something like this. Insane. This is what it's going to take. I'm glad they're considering it, though. Insane thing number one. Who, Nelly? The folks at the Wuhan lab, you know, the one. Yeah, we call it the Wuhan lab, but that's actually not correct. It is the chief bioweapons laboratory of the People's Liberation Army of China. Which changes everything, seeing as we sent the gain-of-function technology there so they could weaponize viruses to kill them all. Oh, and remember, our Pentagon sent $50 million as well so that they could kill us all, although not as much as USAID sent, so they obviously want them to kill us all more. And kill us all is what they're working on, except last time they didn't put out a press release letting us know. This time, they practically did, announcing that they have found, and I use the word found loosely because I don't believe a damn thing they say, an exciting new strain of COVID living within bats. HKU5-CoV-2 is strikingly similar to the pandemic virus, except one thing. It's got up to a 30% kill rate, sparking fears that history could repeat itself just 2 years after the worst case was declared over. How damn convenient. Folks, how many virology labs are there on Earth? Seriously. I mean, it's got to be at least hundreds, at least. What is the deal with this one? They're the ones who discover this? And again, I use discover lightly, obviously. They engineered it. But what's particularly troubling is they want us to know that. There's been article after article after article about it, including this one that made me laugh out loud, where the UK Daily Mail interviewed this idiot who can't really be serious and can't really be this dumb. Dr. William Schaefer, a professor of preventative medicine and infectious diseases at Vanderbilt University Medical Center, told the Daily Mail that he's terrified about the new coronavirus strain found in China. My man, do not put your name on this. People are going to think you believe that it was found in China. Anyway, the folks at the Wuhan lab sure want us to know they're working on this virus, which spurred a whole round of articles about, gee, aren't they still like a level 2 safety facility and they should be a level 4 to handle this virus? Boy, sure could leak, you know, sure could. Q. Schaefer, who says, well, there's no indication yet that this newly discovered virus is moving into the human population, but the world must prepare for that eventuality. Yes, if it's at the Wuhan lab, they have to, because they're doing gain of function on it, probably as we speak, to achieve exactly that end. And if you think about it, it makes sense. I mean, after the last time when they lied to us, told us it came from a wet market, and then we find out the guy, Anthony Fauci, who's running around lying to us about how we're supposed to remediate it in ways that kill Trump's economy. That guy was also responsible for its creation. It's like something out of a movie, right? Well, if another deadly virus, this one much more deadly, so we have to listen to their dictates this time out of terror, since one out of three people we know will be dead, that'll give him a lot of power, wouldn't it? Yeah. It wouldn't make a lot. It wouldn't be very believable that it accidentally leaked. So there are they. Let me put it this way. Are they pre-telling us it's going to leak, that they have it, so it'll be more believable? I don't know, folks, but I do know this, that the last time one of these leaked was when we were on the cusp, when Trump was on the cusp of locking down China with big tariffs in a deal, an economic deal that favored us, but that they had to sign because their markets are so dependent on ours. Remember? Well, we're exactly at that point where a deadly virus, which turned out not to be that deadly, they lied. It was just as deadly, about equally as deadly as a severe flu season for those under 60. It was more deadly over 60. Anyway, we're at the exact same place we were, coincidentally or not, where China, and I still think deliberately released, but whatever, where the virus got out somehow. And that is this, on the short stick of a trade deal with Donald Trump. That is when China released this last time. They had a mutual interest with the Democrats, who wanted to finish off Trump's economy, his most formidable weapon in that election. Well, we are literally right back there, almost exactly. And I want to remind you of where we were last time this happened. Here's Danielle DiMartino Booth, regular guest on CNBC, talking about the strange coincidence of the timing of the release, escape, who knows, of the last COVID virus. You'll see how we're right back there again.
I will say this much, and if you're listening, write it down. In late November, word had already gotten off of the mainland that there was a virus in Wuhan. 6 weeks later, the trade truce was signed with an out clause, a very clever out clause that the Chinese made sure was in there, that said if there was any kind of act of God pandemic, then they didn't have to make good on what they had committed to buy from the United States. Within days, they announced the first coronavirus. So, did the Chinese know damn well that this thing was running around the world for 6 weeks before they shut down Wuhan? Yes, they did. Is that criminal? Yes, it is. Does it deserve to go in front of a world tribunal? Yes, it does.
Battleground America. America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.